Let's bring in our next guest. It is Anthony Stewart, analyst for Sportsnet. What's going on?
I'm doing well, guys, and I think the real question is, has the Chara pitcher been released yet? I'm not really too well-versed on the Twitter happenings, but I just thought I'd tune in and chip in my two cents here. Chara is a tall, tall human being. He makes anybody look short, if that's any consolation, boys.
You know what, Stewie? Thank you for bringing it up. I haven't heard enough from the listeners today already that the photo has not yet been fully released, but... I'm waiting for Eddie Lack to come on. I'm holding out as long as I possibly can before revealing the full photo.
Okay, that's good. And what's Eddie up to right now? He's tweeting, and don't drink and tweet fans out there, too. I don't know what he's up to in Arizona, the retired life. I recommend getting on the ice, getting in the minor hockey at the arenas. I'm in Toronto right outside Scotiabank Pond Arena, and I just saw actually Manny Malhotra. He's taking his kid to hockey practice, so... stay away from the drinking and tweeting and get involved in some minor hockey. That's my advice for the day.
That's great. That's what Eddie should do. You know, he's just like he's living it up on Twitter. He tries to sell real estate to guys in Arizona. Anytime somebody gets traded to the Coyotes, Eddie's the first one on it. But we'll chirp him a little bit more later on in the show. Anthony Stewart joining us here, Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, and you see him as a Sportsnet analyst as well. So we just saw the Kirill Kaprizov deal come down with the Minnesota Wild. 5 years, $45 million. That's a $9 million average annual value. First take on the contract, Stewie.
Well, I'll just relate that to what does that mean for Vancouver. And yesterday's price is not today's price for Elias Pettersson, right? Because, again, I think he's got a bigger body of work here, and I think he's a better player and more rounded player than Kaprizov. So, if I'm Jim Benning and co, I'm pretty upset now because whatever they were negotiating the last couple of days, I think the price has definitely gone up because I think he means more to the longevity of the Vancouver Canucks and that roster. So I think they need to find a way to get Pettersson and Hughes done. And again, the best way to sum it up, some players get some of the money, some get most of the money, others get all of the money. And I'd put the two of them in the last category there too. So I know they did some addition by subtraction, getting rid of some money coming in. They re-signed Sutter at a lower price tag, but they have to find a way to give these guys who are pillars of the organization all the money. So I'm not sure the fans, I think the fans want to hear that, but I'm sure the brass don't want to hear that for sure.
So we talked, Yannick Hansen was on this radio station earlier today, and he mentioned how it is less than ideal for players to miss training camp than expect to get up to speed for the start of the regular season. Now, this is compounded because these two are the two most important players for the Canucks, in Hughes and Pettersson. If you were on this team, the players always say the right things, right? Hey, we don't care. We're here to play. We don't worry about those sort of things. But what would the vibe be around a room after an offseason like this if those two guys are missing and you're just days away from the regular season beginning?
Yeah, guys, you know, you want everybody there at training camp. You want to get that camaraderie, guys, in the room and, you know, going out to lunches and dinners and just getting ready for the season. But at the same time, the players understand that there is a business side to the game. And you know, situations like this, I think, would probably actually make it easier, you know, when it comes down to future negotiations. So it's almost like fighting the power, as they say, too. But at the same time, these guys are world-class players. They have the body of work. They prove that they are go-to players in the National Hockey League. And you're seeing all the deals that some of these other guys, especially on the East Coast, I'm not going to mention any names, that are coming out of entry level, breaking the bank. And I think Hughes and Pettersson have proved that they are not you know, one-hit wonders. They are going to be cornerstones for the next 7, 8, 9 years. So I think the organization can't have it both ways. You've got to find a way to get them done. You've got to find a way to get them into training camp or don't be missing any games in the regular season, because in 3, 4 years now, when they're coming up at free agency and they're deciding to walk, you can't play the boo-hoo game saying, oh, we don't understand. It's situations like this, how you treat the players, how you show that respect you know, go hand-in-hand when negotiating some deals. So I know you don't want to just give the players what they want, but there's special circumstances for special players. And any way you dice it, these are special players. They deserve all the money.
Well, Anthony, you mentioned, you know, the two players on the East Coast, Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, and Kyle Dubas
said...
I said it. I don't mind. I brought it up, not you. And Kyle Dubas said, hey, we're going to sign them. We can and we will. That was the famous quote. But the perception around those players changed once they signed those big money deals, right? Those 7, 8-figure deals. what did you see on that ground? You know, when it felt like they were really well loved in that market, and then all of a sudden, when they started to make bank, the market kind of turned on them. Is that something that happens commonly across the league?
It does, but again, I think they probably, you know, earned a little bit more out of their tax bracket. But you look at a player like Nylander, who sat out for, you know, almost until the deadline, and he signed a pretty decent deal, and it's actually, you know, the fan base is thinking it's a steal, and they're actually really, really happy with the contract. So, you know, I know they had some success, a little bit of success in the playoffs in the bubble 2 years ago with Bubble Demko, who the fans don't like me using that nickname anymore, hashtag Canucks, but these guys, there's certain players where you know what you're going to get every single night. And Pettersson proved that he can go against other teams' top lines and still perform. And Hughes, yeah, he has some lapses on the D zone, but he runs a power play. And to be able to run a power play at that age and just dominate offensively, that doesn't go away overnight. So I know you got to hedge your bets and sort of, you know, prepare for the future. But these guys, it's going to be in the six figures. Anyway, sorry, was it eight figures? Excuse me. It's going to be in the eight figures per season because they've definitely earned it. And again, I'm sure the fans don't want to hear it, but you know, in the hockey circles, there's certain guys where you say, you know what, they definitely earned that, or they're worth that type of money. You see the Makars and certain players over the, you know, throughout the National Hockey League. These guys are two guys that they definitely, I think, earned it in their short careers.
So Jack Hughes made headlines in Vancouver with some of his comments yesterday on Tim and Friends about his brother's contract negotiation. We see Matthew Tkachuk sticking up for brother Brady. You and your brother played in the league. I mean, what do you make of the brothers standing up for each other?
Yeah, I'll advocate for my brother. I'll sit there and I'll say, yeah, give them all the money. Yeah, I don't care. They suck too. But again, I think he's probably misspoken. And again, I think it's maybe the, you know, we're in the U.S., you don't really pay attention to the teams. But I think the Canucks have a bright, bright future. I'll tell you that, too. And you know, they have the goaltending and the defense now, too, and some young stars. I think they're going to be a team of the future. I think they're probably a year or two away. But their future is definitely bright. They have the Russian kid coming in as well. He's going to be a star as well, too. So, again, I wouldn't chalk too much words into a guy advocating for his brother. I think he now just knows, hey, I'm going to help my brother because he's going to throw a couple ducats my way down the line as well.
Well, Anthony, the thing as well about Brady Tkachuk is, I mean, you look at his raw numbers. I mean, they don't really pop off the page in that sense, but he brings such a big impact. He makes such a big impact because of his overall game and how he has that throwback nature to his game as well. Is there, even though that number might be big for Brady Tkachuk, do you think we'll still look back at that and say it's going to be well worth it considering everything he brings to the table?
Absolutely. He's a future captain. And again, I hate it now when, you know, you see a guy sign a contract and then someone gets the spray chart out or the heat map and say, oh, this is why they're not worth it. And again, they are worth it to that team. Darnell Nurse is a $9 million defenseman in Edmonton. Seth Jones is a $9-point-whatever-million defenseman in Chicago. So, you know, they're doing it in their overall assessments where they'd be throughout the league. But no. Certain players mean different towards certain teams. So Tkachuk, he's a future guy there. He actually sped up the rebuild with his team because that team was so bad the first 15 games last season. They could have mailed it in. But it was his play dragging his team into the fight, you know, fighting, hitting. I think he led the league in hits, you know, throughout the season as well, too. He made that team where they were, where you can't put a mount on that. You can't measure that with a stat. And everybody in the organization knows that. And most of all, he knows that, and his agent as well. So that's why he's advocating for getting all the money, because it's not just about the stats and the fancy stats and the underlining numbers. It's about what he means to Ottawa. And I think that goes back to the players in Vancouver as well, too. What they mean to this team that you can't see on a piece of paper or on a computer screen or, you know, behind your BlackBerry for those that have BlackBerries.
Yeah, just you and the BBM, Stewie. We know that. You listen to the People Show. We're joined by Anthony Stewart of Sportsnet. And indulge us with some...
By the way, BBM had the best emojis. Yes.
Oh, they did.
Oh, it does. You know, I'm still on it right now, BBM Enterprise, and I can't tell you who's on there. Some top secret. It's encrypted, but I do have the keyboard. I'm enjoying the keyboard, and there's no more software updates, but it's great. I'm living the BBM life.
All right, Stewie, indulge us with story time with Stewie. The toughest camp you ever went to. Which coach ran the toughest camp that you attended?
It had to have been, Russia. Russia's a different camp, but that's you get the Russian gas and all that. We'll tell that a different story. But it had to have been my first camp with Mike Keenan, and we had to do the 2 mile run. And he's literally out there screaming, you got to hurry up. You better get your eight laps or you're cut. So I literally had a 2 mile run. You have 12 minutes to get across the finish line. And I just remember like that music playing, dun, 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 and me just like diving across the finish line to get my 12 laps, by 8 laps in the 12 minutes, too. So that was hot. That was definitely tough doing that in the heat of Florida. We had to train by doing, 3-4 mile runs in that heat, that 90 degrees weather. So that Florida training camp under Mike Keenan was definitely the toughest.
Just carb load with a couple of plates of pasta. You'll be fine.
I got to make weight. 230, you're in out of shape, 229. So I was there. Nick Tarnaski, we'd literally be in the steam room the day of training camp, spitting in a cup to lose those last 6 pounds. So that's if there's anyone that needs any weight loss tricks, be sure to hit me up on BBM, and I'll be sure to give them to you.
Or at Stu Munro on Twitter. All right, you'll see the Chara photo before 9 p.m. Eastern, all right?
All right, I'm looking forward to it, guys. Go Canucks, go.